Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now, that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused, or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up. Speak out and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the community.
In the land of I am, more than I've been, I am. More than I will be, I am. That is a prayer. That is the truth. That is a reminder of who and what we are. The I am presence. I love that song. I love it so much I want to play it over again. But no, living in now. That was then and this is now. There's more to come. Yes, indeed. That's Ricky Byers Beckwith. In the land of I am. Her virtual land is weletitbe.com. To find out more about Ricky Byers Beckwith, weletitbe.com. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. And thank you for tuning in to yourself, because this is an agreement with yourself. Whatever brought you here, whatever the catalyst, if it's because you've heard Dr. Richard Moss somewhere, or you stumbled upon the show or something, this is an agreement with yourself, and I'm grateful for you honoring yourself, honoring the soul agreement, and saying yes to life. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. I am your host, Life Coach Ade, and my guest is in the house, Richard Moss, Dr. Richard Moss. I've been reading his book and watching him on Facebook. I've been watching him on Facebook. I've been bonding with him. And he brings such truth to life. And to read one page, I mean, I just feel like I got to sit down and just digest it line by line. Every line is filled with just deep truth, applicable, simple, but because let me speak for myself. Let me practice what he teaches. Sometimes my thought takes me away from that simple truth and it makes it complicated. And so I'm in that energy. His latest book is Inside Out Healing, Transforming Your Life Through the Power of Presence. If you haven't heard of him, or if it's your first time hearing about him, I'll go as far and say that you will be transformed if you're willing to listen differently. Your cup will run over. You will be touched. So we just let it be. We let it be. I am so grateful to be here. I thank those of you on the phone line. Thank you. Thank you so much for your love. Those of you listening on the archive, listen to the archive right now, because when you listen to the archive, it will be right now. So thank you for listening. And, of course, those of you listening online right now, we're always listening right now. Don't you just love this now thing? Now just follows us around. You can't run from the now. You may resist the now, but you can't run from the now. The now is here. I am. Whenever you call me, I'm right here. Those of you on the phone line, thank you, thank you. Yes, Reach Ideas. I am looking forward to the show as well. What a day. Well, let's get ready to jump in. Just quick announcements here. I'm in a space. I kind of like the space, but you never know who's going to do the show. I never know who's going to do the show, because sometimes you get this guy who's so excited and he just, you know, this energy run through him, and sometimes he sounds like a monk. Well, if he sounds like a monk, he'll be quiet or just talk like this. But sometimes you get all of that. But anyway, announcements, what do I need to tell you? My guest is in the house, and tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern, for those of you who don't know, who are listening for the first time, Ask Life Coach at a show is Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. That's the official time. We usually finish with the guest around 1:20, around that time. But sometimes we go a little bit longer. Just depends on what the energy calls for. The official time is 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern, and all the shows are archived, so you can download them. And, yeah, that's that. Tomorrow, we have Ancestral Blueprints with my co-hosts, Lisa Hyvesling and myself, Ancestral Blueprints, where we talk about family soul, where we connect with our ancestors, even though they're not here, and how the life they lived or didn't, what they resisted, if they showed up authentically or not, how that lived in us. Through blind love, we connect with that. And through awareness, we can set ourselves free. That's 12 p.m. tomorrow, Ancestral Blueprints. That happens every last Wednesday of the month, every last Wednesday of the month with Lisa Iverson. And one of our new shows, Here to Inspire, with Aisha, I call her by first and middle name, so I have to remind myself. Her radio name is Aisha. Her name is Aisha, and her radio name is Aisha. So anyway, she's here tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern, for Here to Inspire. Make sure you check her out. Last week was her first show, and she's coming back tomorrow. And just continue. We've got some new hosts on Life Conversations Radio Network. We have Mo Love, and that show is called My Authentic Lifestyle. Mo Love, My Authentic Lifestyle is every third Sunday of the month. Is that correct? Yes, every Thursday of the month. Yes, so every third Sunday of the month. And the other thing I need to tell you before we jump into this conversation is get ready to be transformed. And the other thing that I need to tell you, at 1 o'clock, we have that quick segment called, we have that segment at 1 o'clock with Celeste Morgan, multitasking. Can you feel me being distracted? Maybe not. You probably didn't know until I told you. See, I was listening to my thoughts. My thoughts were saying, focus. I could just say, okay, fine. I'll do what I need to do. Okay, back to you. I'm focused and present. 1 p.m., we have a Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. That happens every day around 1, as she puts it. And, someone in the chat room on Facebook said, I was wondering if you're okay. Oh, I am so okay. I am so full of love and gratitude right now. This is what happens. You know, sometimes when you have your holy moment, the holy instant, it's a Satan that causes miracles, and you just, you're one with all, something happens. It shifts your energy. So I'm good. I am very good. Okay. Is there everything else I need to tell you? Oh, well, there's one quick thing I need to tell you. We lovingly ask you and invite you to share the show with your friends, your coworkers, your family members, your dog, your pet. And, of course, share with your enemy and share it with your haters. Now, share with your haters because you know that they're just confused cheerleader. I took that from somebody. They're confused cheerleaders. And your enemy's not, you don't really have an enemy. It's just the inner me, the inner you. So share it with people that you know. Text it, click the like button, tweet it, send a smoke signal. I don't care. Just do whatever it takes, but just keep listening. All right? Now we're ready. We are ready. Oh, no, we're not. I knew there was something else. I kept feeling something. Now, for those of you who are new to Life Conversations Radio, you can post your comments in the chat room and talk about what you're hearing, what you're feeling, what's coming up for you. But if you have any specific thought or question that you want to share with Richard Moss, we ask that you go to Ask Life Coach ADE fan page, Ask Life Coach ADE fan page meaning it's on Facebook. So post it on there. But it's best to call in. You might even get a surprise. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? But anyway, it's best to call in. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. And if you do post your comments that you want to pass on to me or Richard Moss, I try my best to get to it, but my main focus is on Ask Life Coach at a fan page. Now, if you don't do Facebook or you're blocked because of firewall, you're in a college or work, they want you to go online, or you don't want them monitoring your activity, we've got an answer for you. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com. There's a tab there that says Ask Life Coach Ade. Just fill in the boxes and then we'll get to you. And also on lifeconversationsmedia.com, you can find out about upcoming guests, bonfires on our way here. We've got a lot of people coming and more that we're confirming. So we ask that you share the show, share the word, share, pass the word, and just share yourself, you know. Just share yourself. Now, I'm ready for Dr. Richard Moss. And this got so much fascinating story. I just got questions after questions, but I'm going to trust the practice. Dr. Richard Moss is internationally respected as a visionary thinker, teacher, and author of 6 books on transformation, self-healing, and the art of conscious living. His work has been translated into Spanish, French, German, Romanian, Russian, Portuguese, and Danish, and have sold more than 200,000 copies worldwide when that bio was written. He's teaching British science, psychology, energy medicine, and spiritual awareness practice. He's most well known for the deep experiential nature of his work, where people learn holistically with their mind, body, and feeling. His philosophy is entirely pragmatic. Work and consciousness must alleviate human suffering. I just love this when I read that. Work and consciousness must alleviate human suffering and address the root causes of why and how we create so much conflict in ourselves and our world. Yeah. I say truth is nothing until it becomes a way of life. When it becomes a way of life, when we embody it, then we don't need to convince anybody. We don't need to defend anybody. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my wonderful guest, Richard Moss. Good morning to you, sir, and good afternoon for me. How are you doing? Everybody's here excited to have you join us.
That's the first time I've heard a cheering sound on a radio. Yes. Good to meet you. Good to meet you, Coach.
Yes, indeed.
Adi.
Yes, indeed. Yes. I'm excited. I've been really looking forward to our conversation. And the funny thing about it is, as I read your new book, Inside Out Healing, Transforming Your Life Through the Power of Presence, I find that I'm reading what every line generates a question or a thought, and I have to just really slow myself down. But we'll talk more about that, and it's really a reflection of your teaching. And you teach what I call grounded spirituality. You know, but before we go into that, I'm so grateful for you being here today and what is going to unfold. But I want to ask you this question. I read a little bit about you on your Facebook, on your website, but from your perspective, from your point of view, who are you? Who is Richard Moss?
You know, I had an intuition you'd ask me that. You know what, it's a really funny question. I mean, it's a really challenging question, because anything you put into words is never really what the truth is. So we only get close. So I think that I'm a mentor to people, a life fulfillment mentor. I partner with people to help them in their journey to deeper consciousness, greater completeness. I see myself at one level as a, to some extent, an awakened person who's carrying the energy of, let's say, our evolutionary future. I also see myself as a very ordinary man that has to deal with all the same things everybody else has to deal with: relationship challenges, love challenges, financial, health, everything. So for me, I just see myself as just a very ordinary man who is blessed to be touched by spirit and changed, I mean profoundly changed, and then had to basically say, okay, now that something's been shown to me, it's so much deeper than I realized life was about, or that I'm about, or that everyone is about, how to share that. So my real work is to just offer what I've experienced. And now after 36 years, I've worked with thousands and thousands of people in deep retreat. I've worked with every kind of illness, every kind of personal suffering. I mean, really, literally every kind, practically. And I have some sense that every human being can grow. Every human being can change. All of us can heal and help heal each other. And my work is right there in the midst of that. And that's what my life is about.
And you do it in such a profound way because your teachings are so simple. I mean, for me, I do find it hard to believe that if anybody listens to your conversation, they won't understand it. Now, they may be challenged to live it out or say, how do I apply it? But it's so simple. And I've just been really just excited about sharing this conversation with you. I want to ask you, you talked about you're a man who's touched by spirit and changed. And I saw a video of you where you talked about what happened when you were performing surgery on a man, and a voice came to you. But was that the first time you became conscious of that inner voice, or did something happen before that?
Well, you're taking me deep into the past. No, I wasn't performing surgery. I was about to admit a man to the hospital who seemed to be in very severe pain, and we didn't have a clear diagnosis. And I was going to sedate him, and it was just before I gave him some pain and relaxation medication that the voice said, you have nothing to share with this man except love. And I put my hand on the top of his head, and very, very softly, and he had been quite belligerent, and there were two armed guards in the room. And I put my other hand on a very softly, almost not touching on his belly. And my hands got blazing hot. I got blazing hot. The room got blazing hot. The man's eyes rolled back in his head, and he went into deep, deep sleep. And a half an hour later, when he woke up, he was perfectly fine, and we could let him. We let him go home. That was the first time maybe I'd ever heard something so clearly not my voice, giving me an instruction, but I've been on a path. Right. I've been on a path for a long time, and mostly I'd been on a path because, for whatever reasons, and we all have our life stories, I was unhappy, and I was dissatisfied, and I was hungry for something more. There was almost an insatiable yearning in me. And when I was younger, it took the form of rebellion. The world, I wanted to change the world. And when I got a little older, it took the form of service, and I trained for medicine and went into medicine. But for myself, deep inside, there was this ache, this sorrow, this despair, not all the time, but it lived with me. It was like a companion. And it drove me forward. It made me constantly ask questions. I started asking questions. I started doing work on myself in my late teens, and through college and through medical school, and so there was a natural process that led me to the moment where I decided to take time off from medicine and just wake up every morning about 5 o'clock, read something from a piece of spiritual literature, meditate, go for a long walk. And then, as I say, one day there was just this profound awakening or change. And I didn't actually know, even with all my reading and study, that such a change actually can happen. And kind of as it says in scriptures, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And it did. It changed me. And what's so humbling about it is it basically changed me, but it didn't change my ego and the parts of myself that were needy and the parts of myself that were controlling. I've had to do all of that work, like we all have to do, all these many years, and just keep on learning.
Now, that's a good point, because people that I work with, friends that I know, even within myself, that's the challenge. Because I've had some profound experiences on my spiritual journey. But there are times when I come against, or when we experience the challenges of life, and I wrestle with, how can I have had those kind of experiences that transcends the logical mind, that I know is of something greater? But it seems like energetically I'm still trapped, or the people I speak the same. But, you know, I've been on this journey for so many years. I've been meditating, but I'm still dealing with these challenges. I thought I've worked this issue through. Can you explain, or can you break down, can you share some light on what that really is about? Because it does create conflict. We think when we're on the path of meditating, and we can hear a voice, or we can make a table levitate with our energy, we think we shouldn't go through the challenges of life. Can you shed some light on that, please?
Well, in the deepest sense, we could say that there's just one consciousness, and it takes two forms. It takes a form, I think in the simplest sense, I would just call it, let's just call it spirit. But I know people think about that and objectify spirit in a way that may not be helpful. But we live, in my very first book that I wrote, published, I guess, in 1980, it's called The I That Is We. The I, capital I, like I am. The I am that is we. And I had a chapter called Living on the Edge of Formlessness. I think today what you and I are talking about, why it's so hard at times, is that all of us, to one degree or another, it sort of sounds cliched, we're human beings living a spiritual life, we're spiritual beings living a human life. We are multidimensional. And the ego tells us that we can perfect ourselves. The ego tells us that we can fix ourselves. The ego tells us whenever there's something that doesn't feel good, that there's something wrong either with ourselves or other people or the world. But the reality is that we're living between two dimensions, or we are multidimensional, or maybe there's more than two dimensions. I don't know, but certainly consciousness, the part of me that hears me talking to you, the part of the people listening that hears our voices and what they hear, the part of us that has thoughts and the part of us that is aware of our thoughts, these two dimensions are, when you live right on the frontier of those two dimensions, it is very, very challenging, very difficult. And the old habit of judging ourselves in the way we were judged as children, for not being perfect or making mistakes or not getting it right or not doing it good enough, we turn that voice on ourselves. Mostly we do it with the thoughts we use about ourselves, but also we're very afraid of certain kinds of feelings. And when we feel certain kinds of what I call dark or abysmal or untamed, I call them, feelings like aloneness or abandonment or just powerlessness, or just as if there's no one will ever hear us or no one knows us. Those kinds of feelings are normal. Everybody has them, just like everybody has joy and occasionally bliss and occasionally almost transcendent bliss, because I certainly have known that. I've known both extremes. And I know we all do. So to me, you basically have to accept not that you can't become perfect, that you'll never be completely liberated from suffering. Perhaps, as they say in some of the Buddhist and Eastern teachings, there's no freedom from suffering until everybody's free of suffering. And in a certain sense, that's never going to happen, because we're in an evolutionary process but we can work with our lives to try to create a world that everyone wants to be part of, and we can start stewarding our planet and trying to protect life on our planet. And If we give our lives to something like that, we get the fulfillment and the enrichment of being part of something that I call consecrated, a consecrated life. And that still doesn't free us from the grief of a friend who's just learned they have cancer, or the loss of a child, or the end of a marriage, or having more to do than we think we can complete.
Right.
Or not knowing how to do something and having to learn and then feeling like we're back at square one. All of the things that you were alluding to when you said, you know, some days, despite the experiences you've had, there's such a sense of vulnerability in being human. And I just, for me, it's so normal that what I try to teach people is not to run away from your feelings into thoughts that project negativity into the world or blame out into the world or take it in and start to cause you to judge yourself and attack yourself. So we have to learn how to ride the waves of these really challenging feelings and not get too caught up in the really positive feelings so that we chase after them and keep starting our life over in the present moment, which is really what faith is all about. You know, faith that's based on belief is one thing, but faith that's based on knowing inside yourself that you can start over at every moment, that you'll never be complete, but you can become more complete, that you'll never be safe, but you can stop running away from fear, that you can never be sure that others love you, but you can really give yourself to loving others. I mean, that faith, that's something we can all live. Basically, we have to imagine it and choose it and then live it. We're living in multi dimensions. So there's, you know, one day you feel absolutely wonderful, the next day you don't, and you don't even know why.
That's right. And then being able to be gentle, being able to just observe ourselves in that space rather than saying, why am I feeling this way? I'm not supposed to feel this way. I'm not supposed to feel negative emotions, but to be able to just allow for the feelings to do what they do. That's what you're saying, is not be so, conditioned in how we live.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you know, if you looked at my book, and the one before that called The Mandala of Being, you know, having been a doctor, it's very interesting in medicine. It's so easy to diagnose a disease. It's a lot harder to treat them. So, you know, we've got the same thing with the DMSO, the Book of Psychiatric Disorders. It's gigantic. When I was a medical student, the thing was about not even a half inch thick. Now it's like 3 inches thick. We have so many diagnoses and so few treatments. Now, we have improved. Medicine has improved. So don't get me wrong. I respect medicine. It saved my life. It's saving my grandson's life right now, who had, at the age of almost 3, was developed leukemia. And when I was in school in the 60s, in the early 70s, all of these children with lymphocytic leukemia, they all died. Now 80% of them live, and my grandson's in the category where he's probably now at a 95% chance of complete cure. You know, go on to live a pretty normal life. And so medicine has led us deeply in many ways. But the truth is, nobody can teach you how to stop hurting yourself with your own thoughts unless you teach yourself. Mm. And so as a doctor, I have a diagnosis basically for the problems of the world. And the simpler the diagnosis, the easier it is to understand the therapy, the treatment. And the diagnosis is very simple. Everywhere, there's now a little over 7 billion of us on the planet. In November, we passed the 7 billion population mark. Every human being who is mentally damaged or brain damaged ends up living a life where they are identified or believe in their own thoughts. And that is a mistake, because if you are aware of your thoughts, you are always in some way more than your thoughts, more than your beliefs, more than your judgments, more than your interpretations, and you can choose a relationship to those thoughts. You can choose not to be defined by those thoughts. So the first problem for all of us is in order to develop an ego so that we can talk and communicate and function as separate individuals, part of that process, what we mean when we say me, is this identification with our thinking. So some people actually identify with being Republicans, and some people identify with being Democrats, and then other people identify with being Jews or Christians or Muslims or Buddhists, and some people identify with being citizens of the United States or Canadians or Argentinians, and it just goes on and on. We're all earthlings, and so the first problem is that we identify with our thoughts, and the second problem is we're afraid of our feelings. We really are. We let our feelings chase us into negative thinking, which leads to negative emotions. And now this goes on inside of every human being. And if someone's listening to us having this conversation, the work, the deepest work and the simplest work, is to start taking responsibility for the thoughts that create inner pollution. Inner pollution is guilt and regret and blame and envy and jealousy and self-attack and self-importance. So if you're self-important, then you don't listen to other people and you don't take them into account. And if you're if you weaken yourself, you make other people very important. You give them power over you. And to take that back means you have to claim your conscious self, your aware self, and start over in the present moment. And people don't like their own bodies. They're trying to be skinny. They're trying to gain weight. They're trying to lose weight. They're trying to be pretty. They're trying to do this. Here we are, 100 trillion cells, a miracle of evolution. And so many of us don't like our own bodies. We don't like how we look. To me, that's suffering. And you know what makes somebody really attractive? It's not what they look like. It's the space they've created inside of themselves that you can fall into endlessly. That just sets the energy on fire. If you're next to a woman that has that space inside of her, you're going to fall in love with her without it. It wouldn't matter what you look like. She could be burned from head to toe. You'd be madly in love with her. And the same thing for a man. If he knows that deep space inside of himself, he's a lover of everybody. He brings love into the world. Not necessarily meaning that he has multiple lovers. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about he's a lover.
It's not like your phone is breaking up. I don't know if it's just me. I can hear you, but it's going in and out because what you're sharing, I'm just going to lie. I didn't want to interrupt you. We're going to go into the space within the conversation. No problem.
Yeah, I've heard your phone breaking up too, and I just thought maybe it was too loud. What if I take my mouth a little further from the speaker? Is that better?
Well, let's keep going. You sound better now. I can hear it clearer now. Earlier, just when you were talking about people that don't love their bodies, they can go into that space and how, they fall in love with themselves. Okay. But we can keep going.
I hope this helps. I'll just turn the speaker part of the phone further from my mouth. Is that better?
Okay. Actually, if you try to speak and then go close, because I guess moving away from it now sounds like you like on a speakerphone.
Okay.
But if you can get closer to the phone, yeah, we want to feel you.
Oh yeah, no, I know that's a real problem if it's not
that's
working well.
Yeah.
Is this better? Is this better now?
It's better. It's much better. Yeah, because definitely it was just going in and out. I don't know what's going on. But what I want to do, let's take a break, because I want to talk about that space. I want to talk about your book, especially the idea of transforming your life through the power of presence. So just help us unpack that, and what does that mean?
Okay.
So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. My guest is Richard Moss, Dr. Richard Moss. His website address is that. His name, Richard, MOSS.com. You can find out more about him, the free e-books. We're going to talk about the mandala of being, because that would transform you. The number is 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad, or you can post your question on Ask Life Coach Ade fan page on Facebook, Ask Life Coach Ade, A-D-E. Today's ADE fan page on Facebook. Or if you don't do Facebook or you can't get to Facebook, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com, and click the Ask Life Coach at a tab. We're going to take a very quick break, and because we have Celestial Moment at 1, and then we're going to continue the conversation with Richard Moss up to about 1:20 or so. But I'll stay in the now. I am so being fed. I am so being fed. But let's take a break. Just give you an opportunity to digest and just be with. Maybe you're one of those people who's saying, I don't like my body. I don't like my head. I don't like my nose. I don't like my stomach. My leg is crooked and this. What's that really about? Stop it. Do you know who you really are? Well, Carly Jackson will tell you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Mom?
Dad? It's me.
We need to talk about sex.
I know you don't want to.
You think I'm too young.
You're afraid if we talk about sex, I'll no longer be your little muffin head.
Your pookie bear.
Your Lammy Lumpkin.
Your Bubby Chubs.
But come on, talk to me about sex. Tell me you want me to wait. Sure, it'll change our relationship.
It'll make us closer.
I know you want me to wait to have sex. So don't wait to tell me. Talk to me.
Tell me to wait.
And guess what? If you go to fourparents.gov, you can get help on how to talk with me about sex.
Look, this is important. Come on, Dad.
Let's do this, Mom. Talk to me about sex.
Tell me to wait.
And don't worry. I'll always be your little muffin head. Your ginger snap. Your pumpkin face.
Your butterbean.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Yes, indeed. It's about being the change you want to see. And Richard Moss is in the house. Today's topic is the subtitle of his book, Transforming Your Life Through the Power of Presence. What is that? What is that space? What is awareness? Well, we're talking about it all. And if you have any questions, if you're struggling with your spiritual path, if you have questions, you know, even if you don't want to tell us it's you, you just want to say, I have a friend who is very spiritual, but always gets angry when the weather changes. Well, call in. 347-426-3346. Richard, let's talk about the space that you were talking about earlier when we had that moment of whatever it was.
Yes.
You say, you know,
first of all, let me just ask you, do I sound better now? Sure.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I changed phones, and I found out what the problem was. One of the phones was on speaker, the main phone, and I couldn't control the volume at all. So maybe now it sounds better.
Yes, it does. It does sound better.
Oh, good. And I can hear you clearly now. You were breaking up, too. That was my mistake at my end. I'm sorry, everybody who was listening.
That's okay. Usually people tell me I'm cracking up or breaking up. I could take.
Yeah, but I think they mean something else.
Okay, let's go.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, when we start to, with the space, anybody that's listening who's ever lost themselves in doing something they really love, like dancing or... When I say lost yourself, I mean your ego stops operating, and you, your awareness, your body, the place you're in, it all becomes somehow all linked together. It all unifies and starts to feel like you're really at home. And sometimes maybe it happens for somebody playing athletics or surfing or skiing or writing poetry or painting or Sometimes it may just happen because you're listening really deeply to somebody else. And the space of ourselves is really there all the time, but it gets buried under our thoughts. And our thoughts take us out of the present moment. Our thoughts take us into the past and into the future, which when we were developing over the last million years as a species, are being able to anticipate the future, being able to remember and learn from the past, gave us tremendous survival power. It still does, except now it makes us the victim of what happened in the past. We hold on to the past with a lot of negative reminiscence, and then we worry about the future because maybe something bad that happened in the past will happen again. Or we spend so much time in the future trying to get someplace, and we're not really here. So in my work, I have a model I call the mandala of being. And basically, I say, you know, there's just the present moment, which is a state of being very awake, very in your body, and yet at the same time very relaxed. And your mind is open and spacious and not closed down. But it also allows you to see everything precisely. The colors are vivid. The sounds are clear and sharp. The light, the color, everything seems more alive. And that's what happens when we come more and more into the now. And we get closer and closer to that timeless space inside of ourselves, which turns out to be not just inside of ourselves, but it's our experience of everything. It's inside and outside. So what I try to teach people is to wake up when you're caught in a judgment or a story about yourself that's making you feel inferior or making you feel superior. Because, you know, when you feel superior, then it's easy to be impatient with other people and angry and intolerant. And when you feel inferior, it's easy to give too much power to other people or feel helpless or feel, you know, unable to handle the situation. So I try to say to people, kind of wake up, watch what your mind's telling you about you. There are no words that's ever going to tell you about you. So when you drop those thoughts, if you can, if you become aware of them and you step back into your body, into your breathing, into your dancing, into the way you're walking, into the way your hands are moving, and you listen and you really spread yourself out and you take the world in around you, and then suddenly you're connected to this living current, this presence. The Holy Spirit, maybe, as some people have called it, but it's the current of life. It's life force. And in India, they call it prana, life force, life current. And the amazing thing about that is that it doesn't matter what we look like. When that current is alive in you, you're touching the kind of universal beauty. You're part of the wholeness and the rightness of all things. And people feel it. There's a kind of a field, an energy that you can sense. And when they feel it, they don't even know why, but they're attracted. But when you're in a story about yourself that makes you feel inferior, where you're trying to hide your unhappiness of yourself with let's say your clothes or your belongings and the things you own, people don't feel it. And they don't feel it as much. And there's so much unhappiness in the world. And it's first thing we have to do is learn to accept some of these feelings and not believe the stories we tell ourselves about them. Mm-hmm. And then you slowly find yourself getting deeper and deeper into life. And you find yourself really hearing other people and listening and getting curious about them and not looking at them in terms of whether they love you or they're safe, or you get really curious about who they are, and then they start feeling safe because they realize you're not listening to them in order to check them out. You're listening because you're really interested. And so something starts to happen between people, this field, this connection, and it heals us all. It heals us all, and it starts with one person who's not hurting himself anymore inside or herself anymore inside, and then really gets interested in listening to others and speaks from the heart. Because, you know, if you know yourself well, then you don't have to hide anything.
Right. Right. As I listen, I think of, you know, in my mind, the thoughts saying, but how can I do that right now? Well, it would be nice to do that. And all that is running around in my mind, and listeners may be in touch with that, may be experiencing that. But the other thing that comes up for me is there's this belief that if you're spiritual, you're not supposed to display negative energy, negative emotions, or you're not even supposed to feel pain because you're spiritual. But when you talk about being self, it's just being in the body and experiencing everything that the body is going through, but being an observer rather than being identifying with it. When you talk about the mandala of being, in the book, The Inside Out Healing, there's a drawing there which I really love it because it helped me when I was looking at it this morning. How can we use that model to support us when we are feeling that place, when we say, yes, I know I'm supposed to show up authentically, to be the light, to be the love, but right now I don't feel like being around anybody. I don't feel like being social. You know, do you suggest stay with that or still socialize even though we're feeling like we don't want to be social?
Wow. I mean, you've asked many things. Just so the reader can visualize the drawing you're describing, just visualize a circle, because that's what the word mandala means. It's an old Sanskrit word. And visualize it like a clock, and then there's a center of the circle, and the center of the circle is, as you were saying earlier at the very beginning of the show, we may resist the now, but there's no other place we can be but in the now. So the center is this present moment. And then the four directions that we could think of as 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock are based on time and the thing that happens to us as we develop from infants into young children and finally into adults, which is the creation of me and you, me and mine. So 12 o'clock is the future. So that's when your mind goes too far in the future. And it's 6 o'clock is the past. And that's when the mind, your thinking, takes you too far into the past. And it's 3 o'clock is the stories about about money and about God, about religion, about your mother, your father, your children, your husband, your wife. It's just stories about everything, anything. It's the way we judge. It's the way we objectify things. And then at 9 o'clock are all the stories about ourselves, all our judgments. And so the picture is really simple. You have a choice. The choice is is to start over when you realize you're caught in these at 9 o'clock in the me stories, and it's making you feel inferior. Now, or you're caught over in the 3 o'clock position and you're judging someone else and it's making you feel angry and intolerant, or you're caught in the 12 o'clock position, the future, and it's stories about the future and they're making you anxious and worried and fearful, or they're making you so full of hope that you give some Bernie Madoff all your money because you're going to get a bigger return than anyone else, and then of course you get screwed. Or your mind is too far in the past, and as a result, you know if you tell yourself the same story today, let's say at the age of 40, that you told yourself when you were 12, you'll have the psychology of a 12-year-old. So if 12 years old, you said, "My father left me," you know, and he may have left the family, but he didn't really leave you. He was probably running away from his own fears or really confused about his own life. But as a child, you interpret it all about yourself, and you say, "He left me." Well, when you're 40 years old and you say, "He left me," you're back into the psychology of a child. And that's how the past hurts us. I mean, we learn from the past, but we also get confined by the past. Okay, as soon as we understand that, then you can just imagine that if we're in the world of Harry Potter, which is a world I love. I mean, I loved her imagination. She's incredible, the author. And you have this compass I call the mandala of being. Imagine if suddenly the compass would start shouting at you and say,
Stop it, stop it. You're too far in the future, and that's what's making you so worried now. Come back to the present. Feel the air. Feel your body. Get in touch with your breath. Listen, you know. Okay, see what you're, you know, feel what your feelings really are. Or it shouts at you. Oh, you're too far into your stories about yourself. You're judging yourself. It's making you very sad. It's making you feel very scared. Come back. Come back to the present moment. Start all over right now. This breath. Okay, now that's a practice. That's a life practice. I've been doing that practice for 30 years. And I'm not a master, but I know all my stories. In other words, I say I'm not a master because sometimes I get caught in them again. Sometimes. But I get caught in them for a few seconds. I don't get caught in them as an identity. And one of the things everybody out there should hear is that we're all masters. In the deepest sense of the word, if we think of some great Indian guru, or we think of Buddha as a master, or Jesus as a great master, well, of course, they were masters of something else, but we're all masters. By the time we're 10 years old, every single one of us believes every thought we think and identifies with it. By the time we're 20 years old, we've had maybe, 100,000 hours of practice of running away from feelings that we don't like, chasing after feelings that we do like, telling ourselves stories that we believe which create all of our emotions, particularly our negative emotions, but some positive emotions. But even the positive emotions are very conditional. If you change your behavior, and I was saying to myself, oh, you're the greatest person in the world, and I love you so much, and you're so good, and I feel so happy to know you. And then all of a sudden I start judging you and I say, well, you don't really care about me. And you're actually very selfish and you're very self-involved. And I'm telling myself those kinds of stories. And now suddenly I'm filled with resentment and bitterness and so forth. This is one of the things we need to know is it takes about 10,000 hours to become really a great football player or a great basketball player or a great violinist or a great dancer. And at 10,000 hours, you may not be the best in the world, but you're going to be up there. You know, at 20,000 hours, you may not be the best in the world, but you're going to be in that handful of the truly great. Well, but by the time we're 12 years old, we've had 20,000 hours of believing every single thing our parents said to us or rebelling against it or what we learned in school or what we learned from the priests and the rabbis and the spiritual clerics. We're so caught up in, you know, what we learned from the politicians, and we're just caught. And if we're going to free ourselves, we have to do it ourselves. It's hard work. So now, you asked so many things. Now, when I feel bad, does that mean I should just run away and hide? Yeah, sometimes that's exactly what I do. I take a good, yesterday I went for a long walk, and I've moved to a new part of the world. I'm in Colorado now, and yesterday was my first full day here. And I decided, well, I've got to find my way in this place. So I went out, and I got a little food, and I just started walking around and checking out the town and looking at the people and just saying to myself, okay, let's get to know where I am now. It's a real good reason I moved. It's not an interesting story. But you know, there's no rules. There's no right way. You got to listen to yourself. And, for example, let's say I feel really bad, and a friend calls and says, let's go out. And I could say to my friend, I could say, you know, I love going out with you, and I really hope you have a wonderful time. But today, I think I'll sit with these feelings for a while. I've spent my whole life running away from these feelings. I've spent my whole life trying to deny these feelings. I'm going to just stay home tonight and turn the phone off. I'm not going to watch TV tonight. I'm not going to clean the house. I'm not going to straighten up the cupboards. I'm just going to feel for a while because I've got to teach myself how to let these feelings be safe inside of me. Because I've been afraid of them for so long, and of course a little child, you know, that has cramps, it just cries and it waits for mommy or grandma or the caregiver or, you know, daddy or an older sister or brother to come and you know, help it. But when we're adults, you know, we have to learn to make a home for these feelings inside of ourselves. We can't say to the world, God, you know, if everybody was honest and everybody was just, And the government worked perfectly, and the taxes were distributed fairly, and there was a job for everybody, then I'd feel good. I mean, it's crazy. You can't say, if you change, then I'll feel good. That's a wrong thought. The right thought is, I have to find a relationship to what I'm feeling right now. I have to stop poisoning myself with my own thoughts. I have to learn how to do this. And just like we unconsciously learned to identify with our thoughts and run away from certain feelings and chase after other feelings, I now have to consciously learn how to be in the present moment, how to open my heart when I'm scared, how to open my heart when I'm lonely. And it takes work. And you know, you and I talking to people now are part of a gigantic movement of awakening and evolution, but it isn't a magic pill. I mean, you know, the drug company is not going to find a pill that cures every form of depression. In fact, most of the pills can help with depression temporarily for a little while for some people, but they have side effects. There's no magic bullet, you know, mm-hmm. and we have to find our way, and we have to want to. That's the most important thing. I have to want to make a difference in this world. I have to want to be part of what makes this world a place where everybody wants to be part of it. And, you know, it's a mistake to think you won't feel bad on the spiritual path. You know, tomorrow it's supposed to rain here. And if I don't like rain, then, you know, then I have a problem. But the weather's changing all the time. The inner weather's always changing. Feeling constantly changes. The thing we have to be responsible for is the negative emotions in particular, or the unrealistic positive emotions that we create with our own thoughts. Now that we have responsibility for. But feeling, today you wake up feeling wonderful. Is that because you're wonderful? Or tomorrow you wake up feeling terrible. Does that mean you're terrible? I mean, feeling constantly changes. And how you deal with it takes imagination. It takes creativity. But the people who are listening to us, whatever spiritual life is, our ancestors invented their understanding of it, and they passed it on to us. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean it's the final story, the final word.
Exactly.
We have to create our own. We have to recreate and regenerate and rediscover what spiritual life really is for ourselves. And if we can do it in a community that's really open-ended and non-elitist and embraces others, well, that's great. Otherwise, do it yourself and become a healer in your own world and a lover in your own world.
Wow. I feel like I'm at one of your retreats and just sitting here listening to you. I don't even want to interrupt you with my own questions or my own thoughts. Like, just keep talking.
Well,
thank you. Us. You're very welcome. My guest is Richard Moss. His latest book is Inside Out Healing, Transforming Your Life Through the Power of Presence. And he's speaking and sharing with us how to do that. And, you know, I have so many thoughts running through my mind, but I'm not going to identify with them. I'm just going to see which one I want to catch like a fish. I may throw it back into the sea of consciousness. But let me catch this thought. Because as you were talking, what came up for me is, how do we teach our children, teenagers or the younger ones, you know, 2, 3, it may be easy, but how do we teach them to not, I don't know if I can say be attached to the now, but remember the now, be aware of the power of now. Because there are those of us on the spiritual path and there are parents and struggling with teaching what we know. She said we got to reinvent for ourselves what a spiritual life looks like. How do we teach the power, your teaching that you're talking about, really being in our bodies, being in our emotions to our children?
Well, you know, a baby, all of us were born inside of a woman. Every single one of us knows what it's like to be energetically merged with someone. And it starts with our mother. What we don't realize is that there's a field of energy that connects all of us to each other. We live in an illusion of separateness because we believe the stories that say, I'm separate from you, I'm better than you, or I'm worse than you, and so on. But if you have children and you want to help them grow spiritually, they're in your field, and they won't believe you unless you walk your own talk. They won't feel it. So a lot of the biggest mistake I see parents make, and I work with a lot of parents who worry a lot about their kids and love their kids, but one mistake is they want their kids to change, they want their kids to do well because they want to feel safe. They themselves as parents want to feel good about themselves. Now a child knows when you're telling that child to change or do something like to be more spiritual, learn how to live in the now, a child knows that you're giving them advice because you want the child to feel better so you all feel better. And that's not, they feel it in the field, and so they rebel. Well, they don't trust you. But if they see that you're struggling to make a safe home in you for your scary feelings, if they see that you're really trying to listen and hear who they are, you really want to listen to your son. You want to really listen to your daughter. You don't want to give them advice. You want them to know that you really hear them. You want to know that you hear them, that they're confused. You hear them that they're lonely. You hear them that they're worried about the future because are there going to be enough jobs? You hear them that in school or out in the neighborhood, they don't always feel cared about or loved, or that they have to fight to be seen. And you hear them. And if they know that they're heard, something inside of them relaxes and starts to trust you. And then if you're walking the talk, they'll start to walk the talk too. Maybe not right then and there, because adolescence is really tough. All those hormones, yeah. Change the body, which changes the mind, which changes the feelings. I mean, but they will. That's, you pass it on to your children by being it, by living it, by walking the talk. And if they know that there are feelings that scare you, and you're not trying to tell them not to feel those things, they'll trust you. They'll say, oh, it's okay for me to feel feelings that scare me because my mom and my dad feel those kinds of feelings, and they don't hurt others with those feelings. They do their best with those feelings, or they talk to each other with real vulnerability about the things that don't work, and they really praise each other with real heartful openness about the things that do work. And when the kids see that between their parents and see that happening between adults, there's nothing more powerful, because that's what they want deep down. They want to learn from us. They want to learn from their mom, from their dad. They want to learn from someone they respect, but they can't respect someone who isn't who's saying something but not living it.
Right.
Yes, there's an avalanche of we live, this is 2012. 100 years ago, children were working at the age of 10 in factories. 200 years ago, it was even worse than that. Maybe throughout time, parents loved their kids, but also children were commodities. So all of us have inherited a gigantic, tremendous history in the past of child neglect, of power tripping our children, of forcing them into conformity. And we're in a new age now, in a new time. And each generation is healing the new generation. Our generation, this conversation, we're healing the generations that are listening to us. And we healed ourselves through hard work, and we're not done. And the people listening to us will pick up on this work, and they'll heal themselves, and then they'll heal their children. And that work won't be done, but it will be better. It'll be better. It's getting better. It won't get worse in the deepest sense because of the magic of awareness, because of the true transcendent power of awareness. We're all aware beings, which means we're more than what we're aware of, which means we can outgrow the limiting thoughts, which means we can create and imagine and invent a new relationship to fear, a new relationship to loneliness, a new relationship to powerlessness. Those are the scary feelings. And a new relationship to joy, and a new relationship to love, and we can bring that into the world. It's a very deep, spirituality is the most creative life you can imagine. It's truly, spirituality is all about creativity. It's all about inventing and imagining the man you want to be, the woman you want to be, and how you want to treat others, and how you're going to respond if you're not treated the way you want to be treated. How are you going to bring justice into the world? How are you going to bring patience and tolerance and love into the world? How are you going to dedicate yourself and devote yourself? You have to imagine it. You have to believe in it. You can't just listen. You know, I can try to inspire someone. I can be their partner in a difficult time. This is what my work is all about, has been for a long time. But it's really the work of everybody. We are our brother's keeper.
Yes.
None of us are going to be complete till everybody's a little more complete. And we're outgrowing the stupidity of the past, or let's call it the ignorance of the past, or the selfishness of the past. And that's really the challenge. When we're afraid, we become self-involved, and we have to learn to be less self-involved and more aware of everybody and of everything else, especially all the rest of life on the planet.
Yeah, it's the dance between self and the other. But you talk in your book, and I want to take a quick break. But you talk about there really is no other, and some of us know intellectually, but then there's that on a human level, there is the other. So we're looking for that dance, and let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk about that, and maybe just wrap the show up with a conversation. What you talk about in your book, The Black Butterfly, Radical Aliveness. I'm feeling so fed, so fed. You are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We are here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. That's the official time. But sometimes we go a little bit longer. It just depends on what's happening. And like right now, it's like, this is just food for the soul. Can you feel it? The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. We're going to, let's take a break. I need to take care of some technical stuff. And we'll be back to with Richard Moss. And his website address is richardmoss.com. Richardmoss.com. And you can find out more about him, his book, e-book, and all the books that he's written. And I'm reading Inside Out Healing, Transforming Your Life Through the Power of Presence. If you're really about embodying the truth and you're ready to go beyond intellectual spirituality, I strongly recommend Inside Out Healing, Transforming Your Life Through the Power of Presence. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
When I go inside,
lonely love. Dr. Richard Moss, heard the voice. You know, what you have for this man is love. Love that sets you free, that sets us free. Love that is awareness, that is presence. That is what we are. There is only love. Karen Drucker. To find out more about her, KarenDrucker.com. This song does things to me. I'm going to slow it down right now. It touches me on a deep level, and I just get emotional. It's just something about it. It is so, so deep. And listeners, those of you waiting for Celestial Moment, we're going to do that after our conversation with Richard Moss. We've kind of moved it a little bit. And most of you in the chat room are very quiet, and I know what that means because I see it. When we have a list, a guest who's just giving you so much stuff, and people are just like, ah, just give me some more. Can I have some more, please? So, Richard Moss, your first book, not your first book, you wrote a book called The Black Butterfly. Mm-hmm. And you talk about radical aliveness. What is radical aliveness?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because it's a controversial word in a way. It just literally means to come to the very root, the core of where our life springs from. Mm-hmm. And for me, a picture of that might be that you're just sitting someplace and your thoughts about everything fall away and just the sounds are there and the lights are there, your breath is there, the sense of your body is there, maybe the sunlight's on you, and suddenly you realize that you love being a woman, or you're in love with yourself, you love being a man, and you feel like, okay, everything that's ever hurt me, everything I've ever done to hurt others, right now in this moment I'm whole. Right now in this moment, all is forgiven. Right now in this moment, I rededicate myself. I start over. I think we get tastes of it all the time. I mean, I used to live near the ocean, and I'd love to bicycle out or walk out and watch the surfers. And I can just, I saw a man once just ride a wave, just the wave just curling over the top of him. And he was inside this curl for a long, long time. Any moment I thought I was going to see him fall over the, you know. And instead he came out the other end and he shouted with ecstatic aliveness and joy. And then he jumped and then he picked up his surfboard and he threw it in the air. And then he picked it up again and he threw it in the air. He was just... It was a wonderful ride. I mean, I've tried to surf, and I'm not very good, but every once in a while I'll catch a wave, nothing like that, but I'll catch a decent wave. But and I just knew what he felt. And I've been doing these retreats since 1978 or 79. I've been doing these 78, these 10-day retreats, and I have watched thousands and thousands of people touch a place inside of themselves, so healing, so nourishing, so regenerating, and I wrote about it in The Black Butterfly. I wrote about an incidence of a woman who had very advanced cancer, and at the end of the retreat didn't have it at all, and I had all the medical records. I followed it up. I checked it out. I mean, even at my stage, there's a skeptic that lives there, and I just let it live there. But radical aliveness is our birthright. It belongs to all of us. And it, you cannot have it without also having pain, without also having grief, without also having despair about the pain and conflict and cruelty and injustice in the world. But you can't allow yourself to become negative and pessimistic. You have to just keep... You know, you said you're being nourished, and I know my voice carries a kind of love and a kind of stillness. I know that because I know that place in me. But I also know that every day of my life,
I've looked into darkness too and felt alone or despair or sorrow or fear every day. I used to think it was something wrong with me, and then finally I realized that I had to accept it. I had to accept it the same way I have to accept that I have slightly bowed legs, and then I'm partially bald. And, you know, I mean, you just accept it because it is. It's part of the climate of being human. And what makes human life so important is to decide to choose this deep aliveness and bring it out into the world as deeply as you can. So I called it radical aliveness. It really grows out of the extraordinary quality of connection to oneself that people feel at the end of the retreats. Mm. And before the break, you said something about there is no other. Well, of course there is others. I mean, that's the beauty of it. There's only me. Mm. There's not going to be another Richard Moss or another Coach Ade. I mean, biologically, it'll never happen again.
Right.
But when we get really close to ourselves, we do not feel separate from anyone else. They don't they don't disappear into a blur. They become distinct. You know, they become unique. They become one of a kind. And they're not... And so I always say that the further I am from myself, which means the further I am from the present moment embodied in myself, the nowness of myself, the further I am from other people. And so the way you can measure your disconnect from yourself is how much power other people have to make you angry or make you lonely or make you small. And when you're judging other people, then that's basically telling you I'm disconnected from myself. Because the judgment stops when you're connected to yourself. And instead of judgment, there's compassion and there's empathy. Everybody makes their own suffering, and we all make it the same way with our stories and our fear of our feelings. Every one of us does that. And if you've come a little ways on the path and you do that a little bit less, then you understand why other people do what they do. That doesn't mean that I condone their behavior. There's a lot of behavior out there that I will never condone. But I deep down know why people do it. And I'm not going to judge them for that. So I may not be able to help everybody wake up. I certainly know that. But the ones that I can touch, I'll touch. And if you have ever had a taste of radical aliveness, of that deep aliveness, it's like starting over. It's a new set point inside of you. From that point on, something new is working in your life, and it's going to be the touchstone that guides your life. Maybe it's a moment where someone is so kind to you, so loving, and suddenly in a flash you see your own selfishness, you see your own self-protection, and you decide, you know, that person just showed me what love is, and from now on I'm going to see if I can become more like that. But what I mean by radical aliveness is that you get in touch with something so fundamentally real and true and clear inside of you, and from that point on your life begins to be different. I mean, I've had so many people tell me that they look at their lives from before the long retreat they did with me and afterwards. Just like many mothers will say, it was my first pregnancy, my first birth. You know, and I was... I ask people in the questionnaire from my retreats about the three most significant events of their lives, and so many women write giving birth to my children. You know, and when you give birth to yourself, you know, whether you do it through hard work, and then suddenly grace and your hard work join together, and you have that moment of rebirth. It doesn't necessarily stay, but it stays like a seed, and that seed keeps growing, and it changes you. We're so in survival, we're so busy, we're so chasing after money, we're so chasing after just trying to make ends meet, that we don't give ourselves the chance for that really deep inner rebirth. And we need it. We desperately need it. And I think we know when we need it. And then it becomes the most important thing you can do for yourself. The most important thing.
Yes.
Because yeah. whatever life is left after that, the 10 years, the 20 years, the 40 years, it needs to be lived from a new consecration, from a new ground inside of ourselves, not the old ground of fear, not the old ground of survival, not the old ground of, you know, chasing after love. And you know, you can't learn it just with your head. There's just no way. You have to live it with yeah. your whole body.
Yes, yes. You got to embody it as a body. It's experiential. It's not just I'm thinking. Yeah, that's a good concept. And as I listen to you talk about radical aliveness, I think of what comes up for me. It's like a whole new way of intimacy, a whole new way of being with self and others. I want to just throw this topic at you. I don't actually have a question. I just want you to just do what comes up for you. Sexuality and spirituality.
Yeah, I've actually spoken about that a lot. I have a DVD called Presence is the Turn On. sexuality is, let's say there's a difference between Eros and the erotic. And when another human being becomes for you, all men or all women, and when you're at the threshold of life's most profound mystery, when you're making love, it's sacred. And there's performance and pleasure through skill that we can learn. But there's also such deep surrender to the mystery of intimacy that every time we have deep intimacy, it's, you know, deep lovemaking, deep, deep connection, deep breathing together, deep, quiet, profound, and it maybe also could be wild at times with aliveness. But
right.
when there's that real listening, I mean, and you're falling into that space, that limitless, endless space, inside you with another, you're falling into the other and the other's falling into you, and you're both falling into some place that none of us can name. At the end of that, even more than any psychotropic drug, even more than LSD, deep intimacy is a fundamental restructuring of ourselves. And I believe it's a path. It's at the heart of all my work. That intimacy with the other requires intimacy with ourselves, and it is the path of transformation that we need in our time. We really have to outgrow the old patriarchal psychology and start letting the divine feminine, if you want to call it that, start to become alive inside of men and women in the way we meet each other, in the way we hold each other, in the way we listen to each other, in the way we breathe each other, and in the way we're inside each other in lovemaking. It's sacred. It truly is sacred. And maybe when we're younger, we're driven by hormones. But as you get older, you're driven by mystery. and you know, you know, maybe there are some people that can find God all alone. But for me, I find God in the deep moments of intimacy with my partner. Of course, I've tasted it out in nature. I've tasted it in my solitude. I've tasted it in my work. It's always nearby, but it's the most profound mystery to start to really make a deep space for the other. And that's my next book. My next book is going to be about how we listen to each other and speak to each other about the most difficult things. Because relationships need the dark parts.
Yes.
No relationship gets to be truly, truly radically alive without the dark parts that live inside of each of us. And there has to be a way we can bring that in. And there is. There are forms of sacred conversation, forms of listening that can make that possible. And it's skill. It's a practice and it's a skill. But it means nothing until there are two people that want to bring that to each other, that they want to devote their relationship to that possibility. And then you see, you know, the first song you played was Beckwith.
Ricky
Byers. What's her first name?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ricky Byers.
What's her first name?
Ricky Byers. Ricky. Ricky, yeah.
Yeah. And then I think about what emerges out of Ricky and Michael Beckwith's relationship.
And I
think part of what's so alive in the spirituality of agape that they created together is emerging out of their relationship. And I think the next wave of profound spirituality isn't going to emerge out of male gurus or even wonderful, wise women gurus. It's going to emerge out of the consecrated couple, the people who want to let an intimate partnership become service to life and are growing into the timeless through the relationship to each other. So me, that's kind of the path that calls me the most right now. I wonder what's possible. I wonder how deep intimacy can go and how that can change the field around you and how it can help heal the world.
How we can help heal the world. One last question I want to ask you around our conversation before I throw it to you. As we release the show, what tip would you share with us, advice, insight, wisdom, in using what you've shared with us today in this world where, especially in America, the election is coming up and you hear all kinds of things from the left, from the right, from the middle to the backwards to the forward. Everybody has an opinion. We're watching television and you're saying, okay, is your nose itching? Do you scratch your toes? Well, if that's the case, you must be depressed. So how do we take this information that you're giving, or this soul food that you're feeding us, how do we invite others to the table? How do we look at different religious organizations or people with their own beliefs and still be able to say, you know, I'm committed to living life fully. I want to apply radical aliveness in my life, and I want to invite people of all shades and religious beliefs and political beliefs. How do we? What are the things that we need to do individually so that it becomes a safe space for us, so we can create the same for them?
Well, when you put it in the how-to, it takes on an urgency, and it also takes on a concreteness. I think, there are different ways to learn to be an actor or an actress, and there are different teachers for how to learn to play the violin. Every single one of us has within us an inner teacher. Every single one of us has a direct line to timeless wisdom, a direct connection. The things we've been talking about today, to the extent that the people of it listening hear it and feel something or sense something, you have your own teacher inside of you, and it will guide you. And when you hear people using fear to try to get your vote, maybe think about whether you want to be driven by fear. When you hear somebody distorting someone else's message to try to spin, as they call it politically, to put a spin on it for their favor, it may be that that's the way the system works now. But if you listen deep inside your body, I think you know the difference between what people say and who they are. And you got to listen. You really, really have to listen. Not to what they say, but the space they speak from. And I think if you have that ability to listen, you kind of know. And then if you can, try to watch the relationship between the politicians and their spouses. Try to watch how they've used power. See if you can learn something about their history, not what they say, but the path they've walked. Mm. And then maybe vote with your guts. And unfortunately, we don't always have. It's a very, very difficult path to be a politician. I mean, it's truly a difficult path. And I have a lot of compassion for them. But I know when I voted for Barack Obama, I felt something inside of me that said, there's something in this man I trust. I don't expect him to be perfect. There's something in him, his relationship with his wife, that feels right. There's something in his... And when I compared him to his opponent, I just thought,
I feel something different. And that's basically how I vote. I listen. I felt that very strongly much earlier on between Al Gore and George Bush. I think the world would be our world, American world, would be quite a different place right now if the election had gone the other way. I mean, a man so passionate for the health of the planet and would have been, I think, a healthier person for us to have, even when it came down to the question of 9/11 and then entering into war with Afghanistan and then war with Iraq. I mean, anybody who really had could really listen not to beliefs and philosophy, but to their guts, would have known that there was something a little different between these two men in terms of their access to wisdom. And I think that's always going to be there. Really, the problem we have is that since most people are identified with their own thoughts, they believe what other people tell them, and they don't know how to listen not to the words that come out of someone's mouth, but the space it comes from. Someone that wants to create fear in you, someone that wants to create hatred in you or distrust in you is not someone to vote for. And if you haven't got it, if both of them have to end up in that negative kind of campaigning, then see somehow if you can listen during the debates to where their heart, their soul really is. Because they, you know, they have to put on a persona because they believe without that persona. I mean, the kind of conversation you and I are having right now, neither one of us could ever get elected. we would be painted as madmen. We would be painted as heretics. We would be painted as Antichrist.
That's right.
And so, you know, I think you just, everybody's got a teacher inside of them. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. And sometimes the teacher is a book, or sometimes it's your radio show, or sometimes it's something else, or sometimes it's my voice, or the voices of all the many people that you've brought on this show, and why you're doing this. People listen to that. And that movement, slow but sure, will change our world. And I think the most important thing, do not give yourself away to fear. And any thought you have that hurts you, don't believe it. Just learn not to believe it, because it's not true. When you have a thought that's true about, let's say, your selfish behavior, it may make you regret your behavior, but it doesn't hurt you, it heals you. But when you say, I'm not lovable, or I'm not attractive enough, or I'm not good enough, or I can't do it, so-and-so can, when you have a thought like that, or when you say, I have to try harder, I don't love enough, I'm not going far enough on my spiritual path, or those thoughts hurt you, don't believe them. A true thought does not hurt you. It just doesn't. It may make you realize that you've made mistakes and you want to change, but the feeling inside of you won't be self-attack. The feeling inside of you will be rededication. I'm going to do a better job. I'm going to try harder. I want to. I really want to. And that, I just know everybody has a teacher inside of them. I've spent my life talking to that part of people. I know what it's like to be afraid. I know what it's like to be lonely. I know what it's like to be scared for life-threatening illness. I know it personally. I know what it's like to feel like I've been a betrayer, to choose things in my life that have hurt others. I know those things. And there's no easy path in this world. But don't believe the voice that tells you. Don't believe the thoughts that hurt you, and the feelings that scare you. You know what? That's what makes someone great. Mother Teresa suffered deep questioning and pain, and she did good things. Most of the people who do good things on the inside have struggled with real demons. So do your best and struggle with your demons. Struggle with your darkness. There's nothing wrong with us because we have darkness in us. The darkness is the place where we don't know ourselves. And that's the place that ultimately, if you wait with a big heart, if you wait with real trust, the darkness becomes the light. And the darkness teaches us how to dance in a new way. And people have to trust that. And I hope hearing me, you'll trust it a little more and keep going. We only have, I don't know anything about other lifetimes, so I'm going to make the best of this lifetime.
yeah, no, that's right.
You know, and for me, it's not about being safe. For me, it's about being alive.
Being alive. Radically alive.
And being a lover.
Mm-hmm. You know? Ooh, you are definitely a lover, because I know the listeners feel your love. I certainly feel your love on a deep level. And it brings so much, it triggers so much, it inspires so much in me. And I just thank you from a deep place, deeper than the bottom of my heart, from my soul. And I'm grateful for this soul agreement and for the work you're doing. And you're truly a blessing. You're definitely a blessing to me, and I know my listeners are feeling the same way. You're very welcome. Your next retreat is coming up in June, is that correct?
Yes, it is. It's June out in California, and I'm in Europe in the summer, and be out in North Carolina for a 4-day retreat called The Path of the Lover in end of September. Be in Colombia next month. People can go to the website, which is just my name, richardmoss.com, and see the calendar and find out where I am. And there's also a lot on the website that's just free. I just give it away, video and audio, and so they can go to the free resources part of the website. There's also this teaching about learning to live in the now by understanding how we go into the past, future, me, and you stories, what the mandala of being teaching. There's a free course. There's a free e-course you can sign up for on the website, and thousands and thousands of people have used it. I've gotten hundreds of emails of people saying, wow, this really helped me. So as you said, it's very practical spirituality. And
yes. Wow. I feel like you're the loving grandfather that came to see me. I'm 7 years old and you're leaving and I don't want you to leave. Don't leave. I love my parents.
Oh,
I love
you're so sweet. Your heart is right there in your words. Your heart is right there in your words.
Yes. Thank you. And until the next conversation.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye, everybody. May everybody have a wonderful day.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Life is good. It's getting better. Learn to be a lover and set yourself free. I don't have much to say, believe it or not. What else would I want to say? Man, I've got to bring Celeste on. I know we're going to do Celeste for a moment, but I am so grateful to have this space, so grateful to have this conversations and other conversations with teachers who are teaching, inspiring myself, my listeners. I am grateful for you listeners, those of you sharing the show, and those of you who are not sharing the show, because it's not even about selectiveness or specialness, as Richard told us, but just I'm grateful for you showing up and willing to live a life that is more, a life that transcends what your mind, your thought is telling you, what society is telling you. I thank you for being part of my process and allowing me to show up. I am so grateful, and I thank you, all of you. We've got Glenda in the chat room, Kefir, silent listeners, a lot of listeners as guests, Monica, Ophelia is in the house, Celeste is in the house, Tamara is in the house, and other people on the phone line, other people who are not signed in. Thank you. Let's do Celeste for a moment, and it's time to release the show because I don't have anything else to say. What else? It's been said, and for this I am grateful. Celeste Morgan, I forgot to even think about your song because I'm in such space.
We're good. We're so good.
I wouldn't want to be you right now, but I'm sure you know who
you
are if you show up.
I'm going to show up, and we're going to do this because that was such an unusual, generous show. I had the pleasure of getting to know Richard Moss without even realizing that I was reading about Dr. Richard Moss through the Mother Peace Tarot, which I talk about all the time. And so right now, I'm just feeling just deep gratitude. And almost, I feel like you, like I want to be silent, but I'm going to go ahead and kick it to the family because Richard's energy is all in this. And I am so grateful to hear the words of a man that I've been reading for years.
Before you do it, I want you to just say something real quick. That's so powerful. His words invoke silence. That's it, like that, because that's what I feel like. I just want to be still now. I just want to go sit down and be still. Oh my God. I
do want to get him back.
I want to get him back. I want to get him back once every month.
Can we do something different? Can we do something different today?
Sure.
Just slightly. Okay, because I do have a celestial moment. But I just really want to sit with two things. And I want to kind of introduce how I got introduced to Richard Moss, which was through the Mother Peace, A Way to the Goddess Through Myth, Art, and Tarot. And the words that Richard Moss said that really moved my life was written by Vicki Noble. She put in her book that it's about Pisces, and she said that they are tuned in easily to the feelings of humanity. And thus, in the words of healer Richard Moss, discovered that words like trust, balance, surrender, allowing, and love are more than words. They are reality-defining energies. And he wrote that in his first book in 1980, and I'm walking around with that. And that's really, six is running today, family. This expansiveness and love, we got a lot of it. I'm just going to keep it right there today and let you release the show. We'll do it tomorrow. Something happened today.
I understand. when truth touches your consciousness, you just got to surrender. I understand. It's about doing something different. Reinventing spirituality. Oh, okay. I've got to release the show with a song, and I am so grateful. So grateful. Thank you, Celeste. Thank you for being so open and being in tune and being willing to do something different and not be afraid to say, you know what? It's all been said. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And I thank you for all you do for Life Conversations Radio. You're such a gift. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, indeed. Let's play a song. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. It's all about being the change you want to see. Be love. That's who you are. Be love. Yes, and be true to yourself. Richard said, if you don't feel like socializing, just want to be with your feelings and make your feelings, your emotions feel safe. Just do that. And just as important, be loved. Allow yourself to be loved. Don't run from yourself. There's so much more. So it's time to release the show, and just a reminder before we play this song.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
It's all about being the change you want to see. We're going to release the show with Valerie Joy. Set Me Free. Set me free. I'm truly free, and I just want to go sit down somewhere. You know, ValerieJoy.com is where you can find out more about Valerie. ValerieJoy.com. We'll be back tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern. All the shows are archived, so come back and listen to the show or download it. We're on iTunes as well. You can leave comments wherever you want on Facebook. We're everywhere, evenly present. We're right where you are. I thank you so much for being you, for tuning into yourself. This is Valerie Joy, ValerieJoy.com. Set me free. I am set free. I see you on the other side. Peace and blessings.
Talk to me.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.